Good morning. 6:45 a.m., June 3rd, 2012. As I'm running a little bit later this morning than I have been, I wanted to get some stuff wrapped up that I had in process before I walked away. Good news is that on June 14th, when I'm supposed to write a blog post for mwriting.org, that blog is already written. It's already scheduled. I hit the schedule button just before I walked out the door. So there's one thing checked off my list for later in the month already. I also have to do a promo, or Tony, I don't have to do. Tony C. Smith asked me to do a promo for the narrator's workshop that's coming up on the 10th. Excuse me. And I couldn't think of what to do, so one of the things that I was trying to do was write one and realized that that was kind of stupid because, you know, A, I don't really believe in advertising, so this kind of promo stuff doesn't, I don't think it's really going to help that much, but because it's Tony, because he asked very nicely with a few F-bombs and a couple of boogers thrown in, I figured at least I could do is give it a shot. So I've been recording like 1 minute, 2 minute promos in my cell phone as part of talking on my morning walk. We'll see how it works out. I've got to go home and I'll have to edit them together, find the best bits and splice, but yeah, it should be okay. Promo's a promo. And I think it's important for people to understand that there's a whole variety of valid approaches that might work. The blog post I wrote for M Writing had a lot to do with this notion of ebook pricing and how most of the costs associated with the production of a book, any book, happen before the book is sold. So editing, cover, art, layout, all that stuff happens before the book is sold, before the first book goes out. So the question really isn't how much should I charge for the book. The question is, how many do I have to sell in order to break even? And that's the part that most people keep missing. I've talked about this before, I know. But it seems that that message is not getting out to the writer community. They're not really understanding the nature of what it is that they're doing in terms of the production of their product. And so I thought it was worth banging my head against that wall one more time, particularly in light of the stuff that I heard at Balticon, mostly from publishers, about how difficult the New World Order is and how important keeping a good ebook price up actually is to their business model. Now, perhaps it is for the publisher, but honestly, for the writer, I'm not convinced. Yeah, paperback can cost more. There's variable costs associated with paperback. They have more pages. The artwork has to go through more steps. The printing costs more. So, yeah, of course the price of the paperback can go up. The price of the ebook? Really? And if you do both, really? Don't you do the same editing? Aren't the pages pretty much the same? The layout's slightly different. For doing a layout print-on-demand book, it takes probably 2 hours to do a 100,000-word novel or a 200,000-word novel. Another thing I really have to do is tag chapter headings. Now, if there are a lot of chapters, then I have to do more tagging. But, seriously? Layout? An ebook format is basically HTML. So if you're any good with HTML, if you have even half the skill with HTML, creating an HTML document from your word processing document is pretty straightforward. Even doing the stripped-down version of Smashwords nuclear option is pretty straightforward. So all this talk of how expensive it is to create books, how the costs for creating the books are the same for print books and e-books. Yeah, they are. And they're all sunk before you sell the first book. So what are you trying to say? The answer, of course, is what they're trying to say is that they don't think there's a market for any of them. So they have to get as much back as they can on each individual sale. And yes, I know I talked about this just recently, so I'll stop now. Anyway, so the post is up. my June is opening up. I got to do some recording for Dan Sawyer. I'll probably do that Monday afternoon before I go pick up kids. Monday morning is going to be pretty much shot down. Traipsing around town. I've got a therapist appointment at 10. We'll break the morning in half. I also need to mow the backyard at some point. I'm going to need a hay baler if I let it go too much longer. And while hay balers are available in the neighborhood, the problem, of course, is that getting it into my fenced backyard could be problematic. So we're going to deal with that. I did get the front yard mowed the other day. That was not a big struggle. My lawnmower was able to handle tall grass. I cut it rather long to begin with, so yeah, worked out. I had one clog that I had to clear. That's good. Oh, so I'm working on that series call now as part of this 1 week sprint, 15,000 words in a week, which by normal standards should be like 3 days. But for some reason, because A, yesterday, the day before, the first day, June 1st, I worked not on something new, but on trying to get that story written for NASA. A lot of research done. Yesterday, I started working on a new beginning for that series call, and I got through it and realized, you know, this is 2,500 words. And I spent an awful lot of day not writing yesterday. My wife came home and needed to tell me stories about her trip, and I needed to be there for her to tell me, so I didn't get as much writing time in as I like. The upside of that, of course, is that I didn't spend great chunks of time wasting it by spending too much time in online games or some of the other procrastinatory activities that I have been prone to. So that worked out pretty well. I'm feeling good about the level of work that I'm getting out, even though it's not necessarily the work that's on my calendar or the work that's on my checklist is being due. I am getting work done. I am getting stuff completed. I am getting stuff moving. And I think I'm focusing really hard on building momentum rather than on beating myself up for things that were supposed to happen but didn't. So stay positive, mate. Stay positive. I spend a lot of time on Twitter, and lots of you have seen me. I have a new avatar, the photograph that my daughter took. She took it in color, but she took a really good picture of me. And what I did was desaturate and applied a few filters to bring out some of the washed out bits and to kind of even out the grayscale a bit and give it a little more depth. And then I saved it in several versions and started installing them in all the places where I have an avatar. So if you're looking for my avatar, my gravatar should have changed, my face should be changed, Facebook, all the places where you're used to seeing my face, it should be different now. Reminds me, I need to change Solar Clipper. Although I'm probably not going to do much with Solar Clipper at the moment until we get done with NathanLowell.com revisions. And we have all of the themes and stuff lined up for the sub-sites. So, yeah, look for NathanLowell.com to be changing sometime in the not-too-distant future. I suspect we'll see some pretty serious changes in the next couple of weeks. I've got a development site that we're working on to come up with a look and a feel before we spring it on everybody. So when we do the Orit changeover, it'll be all at once. Should work out pretty well. So I've got a headshot. I need to come up with some banners. I need to come up with some little snippets that I can plug in here and there. Some small graphics. Some accent graphics, some minor things. I'm not looking for this to become a graphic heavy website, but A little more graphical interest is certainly not untoward. I need to find images that are significant to whatever it is that I'm doing. That can be a challenge. It's a lot like Joanna Harness Center. I have to have a picture on every post I put on inwriting.org because she features them by featured image. So I went into a public domain image of some old books on a shelf and then did some masking and filtering to turn half of them black and white and half of them color. It was an interesting exercise in desaturation and layering. I like it. I thought it came out pretty good. The old to the new. So, let's see what else. That's morning, but kind of humid. It's also a sprinkle morning, so my lawn's getting watered. Which reminds me, I really need to put clothes out for the one place where the regional irrigation system is out of order. Took it in so I could mow, and then I started to put it back out again. And it sticks out. Because today's watering day, which means I can water that piece without fear that the really town fathers or the homeowners association will come after me looking for retribution for violating watering ordinances. I can along. I have to edit this audio. Then I can go back to writing. I need to make coffee and get breakfast. All of these things, I mean, life is just so complicated. One of the things that I really liked about being at the Writer's Workshop in Oregon was that none of this stuff happened. All I had to do was write. I could go down to the kitchen and they would feed me once a day. If I wanted to eat else, otherwise, I had to go make arrangements for that. But I had coffee in my room, I had food in my room, I had everything I needed, including my laptop in my room. And really all I had to do was spend close to night. And occasionally make a pot of coffee while I was thinking about some thought point or other. And typically what I found was that it didn't matter how often I pondered or how often I thought about it. The reality was what I had to do was sit down and write, and the words would flow. And there's a lesson for me in that statement. So yeah, it's Sunday morning. It's pretty quiet here today. I had a couple of cars on the main road. There's a few kind of surprises, the traffic here in the neighborhood. I don't know if there's people getting ready to go for like picnics or they're getting ready to go to church or what the story is. Kind of early for church, even around here. I don't know what else to talk about. There's only flowers smell this morning. Some of its roses is I just walking past a big bush of roses in full bloom. One of the things that I've noticed around here is that we tend to put a rose bush in a garden. One rose bush. Yeah. It would look better if there were like three in a row, three in a small clump, so that you had kind of a tableau or a bit of structure to it. One rose bush. Bracketed by a pair of green bushes with another rose bush. More green bushes and another rose bush. Is it a way to fill in without spending too much? I don't know. It's an interesting question. I really only just started, I just really noticed it this morning. I mean, I've noticed it before, but never really thought to comment on it. Let's see, here's a set of little rose bush. One, two, three. Looks like it might be two planted together. Here's, there's a dead bush. Here's a yellow rose bush. One rose bush on my side. But they're curious. It's not like it's a garden. And the rest of the landscape here is very nicely done. Risers, raised beds, stones, overflowing planters. It's quite lovely. And yet along the roadside, there's a rock bed, which is pretty common here. Trying to minimize water use, like cutting down on grassy verges beside the road. But dotted with single rose bushes, rose bush. 10 feet, rose bush, 10 feet, rose bush. Xeriscaping, big here. So you see a lot of these beds of rounded river rock. They wanted to be a little more authentic with these sandstone slabs. I suspect sandstone slabs. Perhaps a little more than a few cubic yards of river rock. It's just a suspicion, I'm not real sure. Okay. Going to walk east is completed. Crossing the road. Getting ready to head north along the park. Shining in my eyes this morning. It's heavy clouds, so it's diffusing the sun, so it's not brilliant, but what it's done is that it's turned the cloud into one large light source, and hard to see into it, and sort of backlit towards the east. But that cloud is so bright with the sun behind it. Kind of well grown. Park is filling in with grass and brush. Who knows how many rabbits might be out there? Somebody walking up behind me, probably letting me get in. It's a lovely morning, and a great day for morning walk. Let's go make some coffee. We'll make some breakfast. And what I'll do today. Good morning. Power voltage, sort of power. Definitely voltage, moving very quickly. I'm just clomping along. The problem with cooking, as much as I like it, and as much as I like to eat what I cook, the problem with cooking is the time it takes to cook, and then the time it takes to clean up after. This is not a considerable idea. Talking about an hour or more of time that otherwise I could be writing. Decisions. That reminds me, I need to reload this thing because I'm running out of podcasts to listen to again. Pick up a couple new ones I'll get subscribed to. I need to take off the ones that I've already listened to and add in the ones I haven't heard yet. But here I am. I made it around. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. I'll talk to you then.